Hello, this is Reverend Irvin. So happy
late days in the Lenten period. The spring has apparently arrived with some beautiful and wonderful days. That, of course, is in God's plan and at least is symbolic of His goodness and His love and how He blesses us so richly. We look forward to the days of Easter, because Easter calls to mind that most glorious of all of our religious, of our Christian holidays and festivals, the resurrection of our Lord, a resurrection which the Scriptures promise that we can share by trusting and having faith in God. We hope that your faith is not put to severe tests, but through the grace of God, you are able to have an assurance that He is with you, that He loves you, and that He takes care of you. Many people know that to be true, and we pray it be true for you. May God bless you in the days ahead. Lord God, we look to You in this brief time of prayer and in the faith that You care enough to be attentive, even though we often don't care enough to listen to You. We take note of the hidden needs and pains which we bring today and act on them according to Your love and our willingness to accept it. And will You cause us to take less note of those selfish things which mar our attempts to be Your people? Direct us beyond ourselves to others, to Christ, to You. Lord, make us instruments of peace. Where there is complacency, may we disturb. Where there is disturbance, may we discipline. Where there is indifference, may we speak judgment. Where there is guilt, may we accept and forgive. Where there is dehumanization, let us seek justice. Where there is compromise, let us foster righteousness, lest we settle for the peace that only the world can give. Grant, O Lord, that we shall not seek to be popular, but faithful, that we shall not try to call others to be acceptable to other men, but will call them to be acceptable to You, that we shall not judge the worth of a person by things or what he's accomplished, but rather by judge his worth by Your love, that we shall not be impressed with human achievements and titles and power, but that we shall respect the quality of character, that we shall not seek the holiness of beauty, but seek the beauty of holiness, that we shall call not only our brothers, our friends, brother, but that we shall call our enemies brothers as well. We are grateful people, glad to be alive, happy to have friends and neighbors, rejoicing because of the beauty which surrounds us, and amazed that You have granted us energies and skills through which we can mold the world around us. We are thankful for the grace which comes from You, giving meaning and joy to living. Without Your grace, without Your purposes, we would be as the animals and as the stones. As we proclaim joyous thanksgiving with our lips, let us show forth our gratitude in self-giving and service. Hear now the intercessions which we each think about in these moments. Those persons, those places, those circumstances, needing the touch of Your love, guidance, and power. Bring Your ministry of peace and reconciliation to others through us, if You believe enough in us. Now as we wait in silence, listen, O Lord, to our thoughts. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the third chapter of Philippians, Paul writes these most familiar words, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Quite a few years ago, in fact, a London journalist recorded an interview with the Prime Minister, Lloyd George, as they walked around his farm. On the walk, they passed through a field where some cattle were grazing, and the reporter was very eager to catch every word which George uttered, and going through the gate, he forgot to latch the gate. Prime Minister George noticed it, and so he said it reminded him of a bit of health advice he had received as a youth from his family doctor. The advice was, as you make your way through life, be sure to close every gate through which you pass. So he latched the gate for the cattle so that they wouldn't stray into the new field where they entered. It sounds very much like Paul's forgetting the things that are behind, I press on. How often we chide ourselves for having poor memories. At least I do. And I suspect that because people do have at least untrained memories, there are many books about memory training abound. Some of them are pretty good, I suppose. A little boy once told his mother that George Washington must have had a great and wonderful memory because he had seen so many monuments to the memory of George Washington. Good memory is a good asset in business, even though most of us don't have the kind we'd like to have. We say some things are hard to remember. However, as we all know, perhaps unfortunately, some things are harder to forget. Remembering is a gift of God, very precious, but forgetting is a gift of God, equally precious. There are some things, as Paul knew, and we all know, on which we need to shut the gate and remember to forget. For one thing, it's hard to forget the decisions that we have made. How often after one is made, we take it to bed with us, night after night, re-deciding, wishing, torturing ourselves with it. On past decisions, shut the gate. Now, of course, that's easier said than done. But there may be some help. When decisions are to be made, you can pray to God for his help and guidance. And most of us do that, I suspect, at least when some deemed to be critical decision is being made in our lives. But after we pray for it, then let us trust God and move on. You see, if you really seek God's guidance, and if we do what we believe God wants, let us not insult God's intelligence, nor our own, by leaving the mental gate ajar. If we pray for guidance and God gives us guidance in a particular decision, how unfaithful, how much of a betrayal it is to continue to fight and torture ourselves with a decision which we believe God has led us to. We need to trust our Christian judgment. Very often, of course, a rejected alternate looks very attractive, but let's turn our back on the ghosts of what might have been. So I say to someone here today, someone who's wrestling with a big decision, seek God's guidance. Trust Him, and after you make the decision, shut the gate, and forgetting what lies behind, move on with God. Another thing that's hard to forget, and that's the wrongs we do. Now, of course, there are people with such callous conscience that that are not even aware of their sins and the wrongs they do. Such people may be found, but I suppose are usually not found worshiping God. For they engage in the confession of sins, which is a part of most of the worship of most congregations. If we're sensitive at all, and hopefully most Christians are, then we are aware of some of our transgressions, and they ought to disturb us. Some things are hard to forget, but God not only made us, He also loves us, He also understands us, and He's provided a way out, and that way is the way of repentance. Where we transgress, we need to confess with mind and voice to God. We need to accept His forgiveness and then repent. Then, forgetting what lies behind, shut the gate and remember to forget and move on. Now, the Bible tells us in many places that God refuses to carry repentant sins in His memory. He says in Jeremiah and the Hebrews, at least His Word does, their sins and iniquity He will remember no more. Now, if God refuses to remember our transgressions, then why in heaven's name do we need to remember them? Again, a lack of trust in God. To ignore our sins is the way to be damned. To live with our sins is the way of madness. To accept forgiveness and to repent is the way of joy and gladness and peace. So I say to someone here today, confess, repent, shut the gate, and forget. Then, it's awfully hard to forget the wrongs which have been done to us. This may indeed be the hardest thing of all, to forget when someone has offended us. We nurse our grudges, they grow, we brood over them, they fester. We go out and carve our injuries in marble, but we go out and write our blessings in the sand. Grudges warp our judgment, they destroy our happiness, they burden our spirits. The way of wisdom, the way of freedom, the way of rejoicing is to forgive even as God forgives us, as Jesus says. Now, forgiveness is asked for, we should grant it immediately. No second thoughts. Much of the time it cannot be given outwardly because it's not asked for. That takes a lot of courage and humility, which most people do not have, to ask for forgiveness. But if you can't grant forgiveness outwardly, you've got to grant it inwardly for your sake. Cast the burden of it from your heart and shut the gate. A tailor once gave this advice: to keep your clothes in good condition, empty your pockets at night. If you're a man and you carry around bulky keys and so forth, you realize how very rapidly those things wear through the pockets. To to keep your clothes in good condition, empty your pockets every night. To keep your spirit free and in good condition, empty your life of grudges and hurts every night. Let us empty our minds of fear and worry and bitterness, even as we empty our pockets. Someone says, I will forgive, but I can't forget. Now that may be, humanly speaking. But Hebrews says, God will remember their sins no more. Often we're like the man who said to a friend, you don't catch me getting ulcers. Although I often get angry, I don't hold a grudge. Not even against those people who've done things I'll never forget. Anger and resentment feed on retaliation. They burn from one word to one act to another. And when a forest fire burns, it burns from tree to tree. And to stop a forest fire, men cut a swath, leaving an empty lane where no trees stand. Having no fuel to move in that direction, the forest fire is contained and ultimately dies. Now in the forest of men's hearts, there is a swath called forgiveness, where anger and resentment find no fuel, and so they burn themselves out and they die. So I say to someone here today, someone nursing a resentment, to remember that resentment is a sure way to misery. To forgive is the way of gladness and the way of God. Now I suspect that in all of this, we're aware that it makes a good deal of difference what we believe about God. For us to speak this way to those who do not know the Lord is somewhat futile. To those who do not know Jesus Christ, let's face it, life itself is the utmost futility. Jesus taught us that God bears us up and sees us through if we trust Him. Jesus taught us that God forgives when we confess and accept forgiveness and repent. He cleanses us, gives us a new start, and treats us if it never happened. John has written, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus taught us that since God treats us that way, we ought to treat others that same way. Paul said, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And that's one of the reasons it's a glorious thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have faith. Now what it means in mental and spiritual health and in physical health simply cannot be measured. In a rather fascinating dialogue between a man and a sequoia tree one time, the man says, you have lived 1,000 years. What have you learned? In his heart, he hears the tree reply, I have learned that all storms blow over. It's not really a bad thought for short-lived mortals to carry in our hearts. For decisions to be made, let us seek God's guidance and then trust Him and then shut the gate and remember to forget. For the wrongs we do, let us confess to God, accept forgiveness, repent, and then shut the gate and remember to forget. For the wrongs that will be done to us, let us forgive, inwardly or outwardly, if asked for. Then let us shut the gate and remember to forget. That's the way of Christ. It's also the way of peace, of gladness, and the way to stability. Then, although the storms of life will come, they will go, and we may be shaken, but we shall never be broken. Let us pray. O Lord, our Father, teach us today the importance of being able to forget and to remember no longer. And more than that, teach us to trust and to move into the future in the trust that you are in that future with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.